Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology, which is looking at archetypes having to do with the stories we tell ourselves in our lives and the stories that we empower, and how to connect with our unconscious, how to bring that unconscious, or what Jung called the individuation process, forward into our lives so that we can see more manifestation, more abundance, more awareness about what our true path is. So that intersecting with themes of connecting with our own intuition and all of the tools that we use to clarify what that intuitive path looks like and what our soul self looks like as we are becoming. So if those topics interest you, enliven you, and excite you, then you're in the right place. Thanks so much for listening tonight. Tonight is an in-house program. I do want to let you know what's coming up next week. Kanta Bosniak has agreed to be on the show. I'm so excited to have Kanta on. She was on last fall as well, and we had a wonderful conversation all about archetypes and depth psychology. Kanta is a wonderful writer. She's written 4 books. She's written Surviving Cancer and Other Tough Stuff, which is just wonderfully wise and very nurturing way to deal with something that can be very, very profoundly changing. Lose Weight in Alpha State, it's a weight loss journal all about the joyous spiritual journey of weight loss. And my favorite, Abundance Triggers, which is how we can move into abundance consciousness and how we can start co-creating the life that we want to live and what triggers us around that experience of receiving abundance. So I'm so looking forward to sharing the hour with Kanta next week. And I do want to share with you what tonight's program is about. I've given a lot of thought to this show tonight, because it's pretty near and dear to my heart. What I'm going to be talking about, I've been doing a lot of changing recently in my life, and I want to talk a little bit about what that change looks like for people when they take up that journey, when they decide that they want to embrace the goodness, the wisdom inside of themselves, even in a fallen world, even in a world where, you know, we bump up against things energetically that maybe we never should have had to deal with. Sometimes that can dampen our journey and affect our spirit. I've certainly had some run-ins with that in a great big way. And when I was having those run-ins, I thought that I was, you know, just forsaken and getting ready to fall off a cliff. But in reality, spirit was guiding me on another journey in another direction, and it was too painful to see at the time that is what was happening. But now I can look back and realize that those things happened for a reason. And it's funny, too, you know, because the universe comes around fully, and we kind of get to see ourselves in another place. I've been seeing clients recently who have dealt with issues that are similar to the issues that I've dealt with, feeling like they're forsaken and really struggling with what their place in the world looks like. And I've worked to create a bridge for them to get from what they've been told their life needs to look like to what their inner spirit and their inner guidance and what we call the diviner golden child, the part that we come in with, the brilliance and uniqueness and clarity and imagination that we have as a child, right, when we really lose time and we're doing something that we totally love. and we lose time and we get caught up in the joy of that space. And I've been dealing with folks who are really struggling with the idea that they don't experience that all of the time. And I've been dealing with that as well. I've been struggling with the idea that I can't just snap my fingers and have that happen. And I want to suggest to you that when we're children, right, we are innocent and we don't understand these concepts of having fallen, of having something not go our way, of having something not work out the way that we have imagined that it should. And so we don't have these negative projections or negative ideas of who we haven't identified some of the negative things that have happened to us with ourselves yet. And so we have this very, very free and abundant way of viewing the world. But then often what happens as we bump up against energetically things that are not aligned with our own goodness is we start to take in some of those energies and start to call them our own and identify with them. And part of the process of healing is realizing that you don't bodily identify with those experiences anymore. I'm going to share, and sometimes when we grow up in a family, too, where, you know, I mean, all families are as good as they are, but often we bump up against energetically things that, you know, our families are on a learning curve as well. So if any of you are dealing with situations of trauma in your family, and that can be huge, big trauma with a capital T, or that can just be something that affected you or threw you off center in a way that disallowed you from connecting with your own inner guidance. So in my own family, I often was reinforced with this idea that I had to be perfect, right? Lots of us were. And that I had to keep taking in a lot of information about things in order to be perfect. And sometimes when we're given this kind of trajectory when we're very, very young, that can affect us in a way that's detrimental to our spirit and detrimental to our growth. There's a wonderful book called The Hurried Child by David Elkind. In another life, when I was a Montessori teacher, I really loved this book because this book is about what small children need to grow well in their lives. And what small children need is they need a sense of safe excitement, but they also need a continuity. They need security. And sometimes when we grow up in homes where we're taught that we have to be perfect or we have to watch what's happening next, we don't have a chance to have an experience of containment in ourselves. And so then we are hurried inside our bodies and we are looking outside of ourselves for this form of perfection instead of understanding that that was there all the time. So when we do that, sometimes we then encounter other experiences as well that reinforce this idea that we have to speed up, do something different, be different, be more perfect. And when we grow up in an environment where that's reinforced, it's easy for us to bump into those sorts of lessons as we grow. And part of understanding who we are is not allowing ourselves to align with those energies anymore, to move away from energies that are disinclined, that we're disinclined to align with our spirits. And so in my own journey, I had a very difficult time with with several supervisors. And now I realize in retrospect that they were people who I should not have allowed myself to align with to begin with. And then I went back to get reinforcement from my family, and my family told me that you had to compromise your own values when you're building your career. They told me that you have to just put up with things that maybe are not in alignment with your sense of goodness. Now I've also been told by my family members not to do that as well. But in cases where I was told that, and then when I had this just very, very damaging and painful experience with a supervisor, I was told that, what did I do to cause that experience? And so what happens, I guess, is you start to identify with either this role of being a victim or sometimes, ironically, of being a perpetrator, right? Of being responsible for what happened. So I think what happened on my own journey, and now I realize that that wasn't my journey at all. Those were my lessons. And my journey is about connecting with all of you, connecting with you with your own intuitive awareness on a deeper level, helping you feel more connected and more whole in your bodies and more whole in your experiences in your life. And now I'm getting clients who are experiencing those same things that so dampened me when I was younger, and I'm able to give them guidance about what following their path looks like. So that's a very, very rewarding thing, but it's taken years and years for me to extricate myself from the feeling that I did something wrong, that there was something fundamentally that I did wrong to bring all this on myself. And I had a very profound experience the other day. I'm writing a book. Some of the listeners know this. Some folks in CBUS know this. I'm writing a book on working with Tarot intuitively and what that journey looks like archetypally and from a depth perspective. And I'm writing it for intuitive practitioners and for psychotherapists as well. So that's a lot of the work I've been doing. And as I've been doing it, I've gotten this wonderful opportunity to be able to kind of flush out all of the archetypes, all of the stories that we get connected to tell in our lives. And one of the stories, one of the things that we get to tell, especially in midlife or after we've had experiences that haven't worked out so well, so that we don't have this sense of our own what is called grandiosity inside anymore. Sometimes we, you know, have come down to earth and everything looks just, you know, more black and white and not as bright and not as rosy. We get to do what's called holding the tension of the opposite. And holding the tension of the opposite means that we get to imagine what we want to bring forward without the need, the immediate visceral need to have it show up. So we can stay in this place that we've imagined and this goodness that we've imagined, and we can start to carve out a life that looks that way, whether or not, you know, we get the big home or the second car like The Secret tells us that we are entitled to, or whether we just imagine a better goodness of fit, more ease in our lives, things coming more readily, things coming with more love, right? So we get this wonderful opportunity to bring that goodness and that hope for the world inside, as opposed to imagining it needing to show up in the outside so much. And that's part of all of our growth process. So that's called holding the tension of the opposites. And it was really funny because in writing about doing that and what that looks like on our own growth curves, I realized that that was really starting to happen to me, and I was starting to grow up in a way that I hadn't before. And so I had this really bad day the other day. I mean, a day that would be considered bad, right? Where nothing was going right. I was trying to upload something for my website, a picture, and I couldn't get the dimensions right, and I couldn't find the right way to upload it. And then I wrote a part of the book, and that part of the book disappeared. So you see, I tried to save it, and it disappeared. So you see, everything that was happening in the outside world was not coming to fruition the way that I have been told that it should if I do everything right. But I was still had this sense of blessedness inside me, this sense of goodness about my ability to have success with these projects. And it wasn't about getting them done now. It was about being on a trajectory and honing in and figuring out the best way to do a thing. And so when my partner came home, said, "How's your day?" And I said, "Well, it was bad, but it was good." And I really think that that's about holding the tension of the opposites. This idea that, like, maybe everything doesn't go right on the outside or doesn't go the way that we had anticipated that it would, but we have enough of a sense of who we are and what our mission is in the world that we're able to see it in a positive light and see ourselves with more love and more gratitude. And that way we're able to be more graceful in all of our steps, in all of the things that we undertake. So writing this book has really been a wonderful experience with connecting to that sense of what I believe these archetypes are about and what they can teach us on our journey. And we're all going to have bad days. We're all going to have those days, right, where we really start to identify that victim mentality and we say, "I really couldn't get this done and I'm on a deadline and I expected to." But we're human beings. And so part of the job is to allow ourselves to get off the hook, you know, not to beat ourselves up further for, you know, our humanness and to recognize our fallibility and recognize that by allowing our inner child to breathe, allowing our inner child to play. The other day I had a client and I realized after they left that I had taken on a lot of the energies in the session, and this happens often when you see clients and a job to be able to figure out that something isn't yours. And I was sitting down and I'm working on a new website for my bracelet line, my jewelry line. And I started to go, "Oh my gosh, I have to get these uploaded, and because people are going to see this website and they're going to see that it doesn't make sense and that the stuff isn't accessible yet." And I'm going to, and then I thought, wait. You know, you need to take a break. You can't get everything done today. You are spent, and you need to honor the fact that you need to refuel. And so you need to connect with that inner child. You need to connect with that divine spirit and spark in you. And the more that you start to listen to that place and not just be on autopilot, the more that you can connect with those wonderful synchronistic experiences. So I encourage you to be more gentle with yourself as you go through and to notice that, yes, we all have a gazillion things that we need to do and things that we want to do and maybe things that we don't, but they're going to get done, and that we're living a life, we're living a very multifaceted experience. And it is a process as much as it is a project. When I work with new clients, I have them sign a contract that says, "I understand that this is a process, not a product." And I really have tried to live my life that way. Some of the things I've moved away from energetically, some of these damaging, traumatizing experiences that I've had came from the fact that I was treating my life like a product, right? I have to get this many hours to get this licensure, to get this, right? And I wasn't allowing myself to realize that I'm a process and I'm in process. And the clients that come see me are in process. And by just allowing yourself to breathe and realize that with a deepening awareness, you let yourself get off of the hamster wheel. So one of the things that I've been doing, I wanted to tell you briefly. So I was walking home from this coffee shop that I write at, and I had this sense, this very, very strong sense that everything that I had done previously, all of the plans that I had made for this life that was supposed to be the life, that I shouldn't have been around those people, and that if I had trusted my own inner guidance system more, I never would have allowed myself to be. And a lot of my struggling in my early life was about trusting my inner self and my inner guidance. I even had an experience where I was on the bus going to one of the places where I was working years ago. And I came in and I said to the staff, you know, my heart says yes, my mind says yes, and my gut says run like the wind. And I always listened to my gut. And I was going to quit on that day because I knew energetically that not because of the children that I was working with, but because of certain aspects of the way the administration functioned, that this was not going to be a place that was going to be heart-centered. It was not going to be a place that was going to advocate fairly. I felt it. I felt it in my gut, and I felt it so strongly and so viscerally, but I had been told that I should ignore that feeling and that that feeling would stop me up, that that feeling would limit my ability to be successful. But what I've learned over time is that success is an internal feeling as well as an external experience. And that if the internal feeling feels successful, you feel like you've done good things in your life, things that are worthwhile, things that have helped you grow, things that have inspired other people on their journey, that really is success. So I was grappling with someone else's definition. I even wrote a paper about it. But, you know, if I had it to do again, I don't know that I would do it that differently, because I learned so much, and who I am is a byproduct of those experiences. The strength that I bring to clients and to my own life has to do with the fact that I had those difficult experiences and that I know who I am internally. I had this experience when I was walking home. It was profound, because I really was able to just sum up those experiences that I'd had and to say I did the best that I could. And it was a very, very damaging situation, and I maybe shouldn't have been there, but I was. And that I took in the energy, and this is the piece that I really want to share, that I took in the energy, the negative energy of those people into me, and it lived in me in a place, in a shadow space, where it got fueled. And there's a wonderful saying, I think I've shared it on the show before, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it's a Native American Indian saying, and the idea is it's about this wolf, and one represents the dark and one represents the light. And the idea is that the one that grows is the one that you feed. And so I think about that idea. I think about that idea every day, because I go through times that are very, very dark, times that I identify with some of those things that I was told about myself, perpetrators told me about who I was. And I have to choose not to feed that. I have to choose not to feed it consciously, because if I feed it consciously, right, I believe it on some level, and I reinforce it to my clients, and I reinforce it in my life. And I have to choose not to feed it unconsciously. I have to notice when it's starting to take up roots. Because if I feed it unconsciously, on some level, I start to act it out, right? I start to hold on to that anger and that frustration and that criticism inside. and it affects my life as well. So I know for myself, and it's probably different for all of you, that when I'm starting to feed it unconsciously, I stop my internal voice. I have an internal voice that reinforces me, that I sing often. I sing when I'm walking around. I'll create little sing-song things about the elements and magical things and things like this. And this is just something that I've done from the time I was a child. And when I feel like I can't do that, or I feel like people are judging me for doing that, I know that my shadow part is activated, and I have to kind of check it, and I have to say, no, you know, you can't take up this much space in my life. So it's very, very much a conscious decision. But I also want to suggest to you guys out there who are dealing with these issues that it's also a process of your own healing. And when you've been in a situation that was traumatic to you, where part of your inner spirit was stripped, or your body was hurt, or you were lied to, or these sorts of things, the body protects itself by going internally and by not allowing you to experience such profound joy, because there's this part of you that when you experience such profound joy might experience loss too. And so there's a flattening aspect that happens that's a normal part of dealing with trauma. And so one of the things that you can do to notice when the trauma is starting to let go and you're starting to get rid of these negative projections that you've internalized, these beliefs about yourself, what Freud called a parental introject, or just an introject. Usually it starts out having to do with some beliefs about parents, but then sometimes it affects the way that you see certain situations in relationships and in your career, in different areas of your life. But when you start to see this, is to really, really know that part of it is about that healing process, and that starting to talk back to that and say, no, you can't pick up so much space, is something that you start to do on your own healing journey when you start to dialogue with some of those energies that never should have been there, some of those things that happened to you that may have defined you or confined the way you live your life. And when you can start to have a dialogue, there's a wonderful thing going around Facebook right now that says, when you can tell the story and you don't feel any pain around it, you know that it's healed. So people tell these stories again and again and again, and people say, oh, would you stop telling that story? But they tell the story, these stories that are painful or traumatic, because they hold the energy for them. And the more that they can tell that story with clarity and without identifying with a perpetrator, the more that they know that they're in the place of the authentic self, the more they know they're connected with that golden child energy. So I encourage you to be aware of how you tell stories, how much energy you give to these darker things that have happened to you, but also if you have the need to tell a story with a friend where you feel safe, to notice when the story does not hold so much pain or so much of a charge for you, that's an indicator that you're healing as well. So when I had this experience the other day and I was able to sum it up and say, boy, I never was any of those things that I started to identify with when I was in these bad, bad situations, and I never did anything that wrong ever, I knew that I was healing, and I knew that I was getting clearer about what I'm here to do and what I'm here to share. So I do want to share with you a practice that I'm doing as well. I'm very excited about it. And it's really, really been helping me with getting more aware of my moods and what I'm internalizing. Because when we've had traumatic experiences or if our life has been shaped by them, there's a tendency to just kind of go to this go-to of negativity or go to this go-to of criticism that we may have internalized because people have projected it onto us and we've started to believe the things that they say about us. So I'm going to take a drink of water. Hang on here. So so with this sort of go-to, it's really, really good to be aware of that and to make a choice. Sometimes it takes me some time in the morning. I see clients in the afternoon and into the evening, but sometimes it takes me some time in the morning to get that energy out of me or to realize that I have a choice about it or that I can bring something that's more enlivening and more enlightening, a better choice into my life. And I'll usually feel this funny little shift where I can let go of the criticism or the need to have something be perfect. And it's just this funny little inside energetic shift, kind of like the one that I felt when I was coming back from the coffee shop that was so huge and had all these words to it. But it was just a little one. I encourage folks who are wanting to explore some of this energy, and of course you can do it with a guide, and that's a wonderful way to do it. But another way to do it, to get more clear about what your internal voice is saying to you, is to read this wonderful book called Focusing by Eugene Gendlin. It was written in the 1970s. You can get it through Amazon. It's a very short little book, and it's something you can practice with yourself. Our tendency sometimes is to go way too deeply into feelings that are very overwhelming for us. The Focusing book helps us to be able to have more clarity about what the guts of the problem are, what the gist of it is, and what we need to have happen in the situation to elevate us, to connect us with our inner voice. And this is a process of setting aside all the big pieces and then noticing what comes up in you. It's called a felt sense response, and it's a wonderful thing. It's an emotional response, but it's also, for some folks, it's more of an imagery kind of thing. Some people are visual. It can be an auditory thing. It can show up around words. But what it is kind of a composite feeling and experience of inner knowing in you that comes up. So I encourage anybody who's working on other issues that have to do with figuring out what you believe, what your core beliefs are, your core values are, working through pain, working through changes and transformations, working on any problems with any either coworkers or partners who you're experiencing frustration with. This felt sense work, this Eugene Gendlin book, is just a wonderful, wonderful way to not get overwhelmed with your feelings, but still go to a place where you get more clarification about what it is you do feel. So I really encourage you to do that. I've been doing this wonderful practice because I knew I needed some help with some of these things that had happened to me and these parental interjects and other parts of myself that really weren't in alignment with who I really was, with my authentic self, but some of these projections. I knew I needed help with tripping the trigger, you know, changing the balance of the energy inside as I was healing it and coming back to center, coming back to who I always was. There was a wonderful thing going around Facebook for about 3 weeks, and I hope some of you have done it. I'm going to explain a little bit about it. It's this wonderful picture, and if you get it on your Facebook page, if someone sends it to you, I really encourage you to read it, to try it out, to experiment with it. It's a picture of a jar, and I'm using it a little different than it said on the Facebook post, but it's a picture of a jar that you get and you put in things either that you would like to manifest or things that have manifested for you, things that have come to fruition that you've hoped for. For me, I wanted to do this in a full circle way because when I was young, I used to do a lot of work with manifesting, and it happened very, very readily for me, just magically. And I just felt like my life was magic every single day, and I felt so joyous. And then like I said, we have these experiences where we bump up against energies and we take in these beliefs that really were never our own. And our ego gets triggered and all these other sorts of things. So I knew I needed a little bit of help. So I got this jar, and I encourage you, when you go to get your jar, to find a jar that speaks to you. Find a jar that's a lovely color that you see when you close your eyes, you know, a chakra that you're working with, a shape that you love. You know, I encourage you to go out to a thrift store or go to Pier 1 or wherever it is you go to find wonderful, magical objects, and to really ask this jar to come into your life and let it tell you its story. My jar, I had imagined, I looked on eBay and I found all these different colored jars, but they were, I just didn't feel like purchasing something from eBay. So I went to the thrift store and I thought I was going to find this beautiful, beautiful jar. And what I ended up finding, and it's really wonderful actually, was this great, great, big, clear jar. And it had to be big because I knew that I was going to want to put a lot of synchronistic experiences in it. But it had to be big. But this jar has holes in the top of it, like a child has used this great big jar to hold lightning bugs. And I didn't really realize, I kind of, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit, I have a tendency to be a little bit picky about how things look. So initially I thought, well, this is just the jar I'll have for a little while, and then I'll find a beautiful jar, right? There's that judgment piece. But then I got the jar home, and I realized how magical this jar is, right? Because when you're in that place in summer where you don't have to go to school and the days all melt into each other, and it's just so wonderful, and you have friends around who stay over, and, you know, you have that connection with your body, and you're out in nature, and you kind of forget that your parents are around at all, or that there's anything you have to do. One of the things that you do is you gather lightning bugs, and that's just such a magical memory. And it's a memory that has to do with illumination. It has to do with lighting up the night sky, lighting up this place that might be scary or dark, with these magical, magical creatures that hold light, hold illumination, hold hope for children. So when I realized that I got this wonderful jar, I was like, wow, that's incredible. And then I was working with someone the other day and just realized we were talking a lot about this inner child, this golden child, this wonderful, powerful potential that we all come in with our unique gifts. And that's part of when I realized what a magical jar this was, what a wonderful choice this was. So I'm happy to say it's on the back of the bookcase, and I fill it probably every couple days. If any of you out there have watched the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, I highly recommend it. If you want to understand how our bodies change, how we heal, and how we can create this magical connection with our own lives, and actually change ourselves on a cellular level, on a biochemical level, the movie What the Bleep Do We Know really, really goes into that on a very scientific basis, but also really just has wonderful, wonderful words, and it's just a wonderful story as well. So I encourage you guys to check that out. There's a wonderful guy who is an anesthesiologist in his personal life, and his name is Dr. Dispenza, and Dr. Joe Dispenza. I encourage you to go check out his Facebook page. And he just really inspired me. He talked about creating his day, and he talked about, and I'm going to read you just a little blurb about what he says and just how powerful his words are. And just think about this as you're filling your jars with these amazing things that are happening in your life. And I want to encourage you, when you're filling your jars with these wonderful, wonderful happenings and events and things, to not focus so much on stuff, to not focus so much on the external definition of success, but to really encourage yourself to focus on your internal definition of success and confidence and joy, because it's so different for each one of us. And as we age, we start to forget what that definition looks like. But a practice like this can help us to re-inspire us about what those internal definitions of joy and connection and spirit and divine guidance look like for us. So I'm going to share with you what he says, and then I'm going to share with you a little bit about what Jung talks about, and then I'm going to share with you a little bit more about my practice. So anyway, he says, I wake up in the morning and I consciously create my day the way I want it to happen. Now, sometimes because my mind is examining all the things that I need to get done, it takes me a little bit to settle down and get to the point of where I'm actually intentionally creating my day. But here's the thing. When I create my day and out of nowhere little things happen that are so unexplainable, I know that they are the process or the result of my creation. And the more I do this, the more I build a neural net in my brain that I accept that that is possible. And this gives me the power and the incentive to do it the next day. So what I think Dr. Dispenza is talking about is this powerful, powerful idea that I think also, who is the guy? He's an Indian guy, very, very famous guy, friends with Wayne Dyer. It'll come to me, but anyway. A guru guy, one of the first ones. Anyway, you probably know, the listening audience probably knows. But he talks about how it takes 21 days to change a habit. So I think that this experience of identifying too much with the shadow elements, taking them in too deeply, identifying with the criticism, the callousness, sometimes the feelings of meanness, that some of the traumatic experiences that I had exposed and kept ripe in me, that I think some of these things were habits. They're habits that I got into because I had to keep going to these places every day. And the energy was so toxic and so bad. And so I just held it in my body, you know, and I just started to believe that that is the way the world is. That's the way the working world is. That's what I, and, you know, and it did echo what my parents said. This is what you have to deal with if you want to create a career. And so I held that as a habit in my body. And what Dr. Dispenza is talking about is choosing to hold a more magical experience of the world in your body. So Jung talks about this principle of synchronicity. And for those folks who are following my blog, Inner Voice Insights, which you can get to from innervoiceintuitive.com, I just shared a story recently about an amazing trip to Turkey that I got to take. That was so magical and so unexplained and just such a gift in my life. And I talk about the idea that doing this is about making space for magic in our lives, but that the magic doesn't have to be literal. Our culture focuses so much on bigger, better, faster, more, you know, big cars, big houses. By the end of our lives, we should be so wealthy. And I feel like to a certain extent, that's why we have some of the problems that we have in our culture, right? Because we have this inordinate, unnecessary wealth. Now I'm going to get off the political platform and just suggest to you that so much of what we experienced as a child when we experienced joy had very little to do with bigger, better, faster, more. It just had to do with the spirit of connection with the whole world around us. So Dr. Dispenza is encouraging us to do this. And Jung, when he talks about the synchronistic process, he talks about the universe starting to mirror the things that we desire. So, you know, we come up with in our imagination something that we desire, and because we haven't known the experience of being denied what it is we want at this point, we bring it into clarity, into our body, and we experience the feeling of having it. I used to do this when I would go back and forth in my graduate program. I would always imagine there being all this space around me on the plane so that I could lie down and sleep on the way back to Columbus. And I honestly, by the time I got done doing this imagining and had this felt sense in my body, didn't really care if I had the space around me or not, because on some level, on a quantum level, I had already created the connection, the neuronet of that experience. So Jung talks about how the universe starts to mirror us so, so clearly by connecting us with our visions, our desires, our feelings in the universe, and then starts telling us that story out in the outside world. And not just inside in our imagination. And the more that we hold a place of curiosity and hope about that process, the more that we're able to manifest that vision in our outside lives, and the more that we're able to let go of that shadow content that maybe wasn't ours, the more that we're able to start to express that joy and that connection with that inner child, with that hope, and that sense of containment in ourselves. So I've been doing this for 26 days now. And it's just been a fascinating process. It makes me focus my life differently. So when something happens, shows up, and it matches energetically what it was I wanted to see, I put it on a little piece of paper. I've got all these different rainbow-colored pieces of paper. And I write it down on this piece of paper, but not only do I write down the outcome, I write the little breadcrumbs that show up along the way, the little guide to following it from my imagination and the feeling of it to experiencing it out in the outside world. And now I haven't opened the jar yet. It says that you should open it on New Year's Eve, but I've decided to open it whenever I have a down day, a really, really difficult day where I start to identify with those negatives, with that victim stance, with that old story, those old tapes. I've decided to open up this jar and read all the powerful, amazing things that the universe has brought to me through my clear intention setting. So that's how I'm using this jar, and it's been a wonderful, amazing experience because it creates a different habit, a different habitual response. And so what you're doing is, on a conscious level, you're feeding the positive experiences. You're feeding the experiences of joy and gratitude. You're not feeding the negative experiences, which unfortunately the culture often feeds the negative experiences, right? Because our culture just does that, and the media does that, and we get so invested in the negative and reinforcing that story. So we propel that story forward. But if we started to do a practice like this, if we started to connect with just the joy, the simplicity, the abundance around us, and wrote this down, and I'm really intrigued with this idea of the breadcrumbs, because I have a ebook out there called Chakra Balancing for Every Body and Soul, which you can also get if you check out the website. You can just sign up for it by sharing your email address. But I talk there about following the breadcrumbs to your own intuitive path. And yesterday or last week, I had a new client start who, when they were filling out their paperwork, said, "I followed the breadcrumbs here." So I'm like, that's so magical, right? Because it's the universe mirroring my own imagery about what it looks like to connect with this deeper inner guidance. It's the universe matching that up. So I encourage you to do that in every way in your life that you can, whether it's through creative visualization, whether it's through a feeling that happens when you find something or someone says something and the synchronicity of the feeling that accompanies it, whether it is words that are spoken again and again and again in your space, like following the breadcrumbs, whether it's what a whole archetype, a whole powerful image, which you can find in the tarot, or a chakra center, however you connect with your own internal knowing. I really encourage you to get one of these jars, find one that you love, find one that you feel connected to, and start this process. And you can do it in your own way. Some people do it about setting intention and wishes. I've done that too. But there's something about following this breadcrumb from the wish to the manifestation that really feels like it's creating a bridge in this jar to my own happiness, I guess is what I would say, and ultimately to my own way of living my life. So I encourage you to play with that. If I can find on Facebook for folks who are friends and have connected in that way, if I can find on Facebook this jar, I'll post it again this evening. And I really encourage you to play with it, especially if you're really, really struggling with some of this darker stuff that you just feel like really isn't yours. Kind of, you know, we're a sponge and soaked a lot of it in and then are struggling with how to let it go. I think these things are really, really wonderful. So if this program speaks to you in any way, I encourage you to share it with your friends. I encourage you to check out the book references. Check out the books of the wonderful practitioners who share their skill and their insight on the show. Share your pretty pictures of your face up there so we can see that you're watching the show and connecting in that way. Also, feel free to connect with me on Facebook on Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Guidance. That's my my business page. And also to connect with innervoiceintuitive.com. And, so hope to see you out there in the ethers. Next week is Kanta Bosniak. So I look forward to doing that. Let me say goodbye. Whatever you guys do between now and next week, go and make magic. Dars singing quiet. That song is all about the connection with synchronicity. I don't know why it's not playing right now this evening, but it's a wonderful, wonderful song. Let's go. Anyway, okay, that's the blurb. Go check out her music. You want to talk about a word wizard who brings magic into the world, that would be Dar Williams. Anyway, have a great evening, everybody. Take care of yourselves and take care of your worlds and your world's internal, external, and go make magic, share magic, create magic, inspire magic, and try this jar thing because it really is a wonderful way to connect with the magic in all of us. Have a great evening. Bye now.